pray for in the days and years ahead.
Well, something new that we're heading to at Camp Karis is connected with Foundations for Farming. It's through Crown Financial, and I think quite a few of you would be familiar with Crown Financial. They're very well known here. This Foundations for Farming did a training plot in Zimbabwe, and they use five things. Faith, so the first is teaching the Word of God. Family, because that's important. I think I get farming, so they'll teach them farming methods that will help them. You see, in that test plot, they didn't know where to start, but they told them, well, they had this one piece of land, but it's cursed because nothing grows on it. They says, that's okay, we'll take it. And after the first year, the people around were getting about a ton to the hectare. They got 8 tons to the hectare on this cursed land because they used biblical principles and they trusted God and farming practices that would yield higher production. Quite labor intensive. So I didn't list all of them. There was faith, family, finances, farm, food, because they have to raise the food. The idea with the finances is after you have this bountiful crop, we teach them how to give to their needy neighbors, to give to the church, to give towards missions, because by this time they should have known the Lord because they have gone through. So we're planning to start, that's background, planning to start that at Camp Karis. But in March, we're supposed to go to Zimbabwe through their training center and to bring that in. So we feel that, because the example in Zimbabwe, it not only spread from that farm to the surrounding communities, to the surrounding nations, it just really spread. And they are expecting that this could be a real evangelistic tool in the Philippines as well as helping them on their daily needs to have food. That starting, they were looking for a place in the Philippines where to start, and they asked us at Camp Karis, would you be willing to have the training center there, and then people come train, and then it's to be spread out. They train trainers to train trainers, and it's just like 2 Timothy 2:2 for discipling, and because it involves faith, it would also involve discipling.
Something upcoming in your ministry that we can be praying for?
Just pray for us when we go back, because the church is really experiencing some difficulties right now. But we're supposed to be out of that church already, but we're just attendees. But then one of the leader has to leave, and so a lot of people are questioning a lot of things. So we just pray that we'll be able to calm the people down and go back to the joy of being together again.
That's great. Well, let me pray for you, and then we'll hear from Judy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dick and Gloria and just the passion you put in their hearts. I pray that you would continue to sustain them. Thank you that you don't leave us or forsake us. I just pray that you would continue to guide them. Lord, I pray for their church and the difficulties that they're facing. Lord, we know that you are a God of restoration. And we just pray that those relationships and things that maybe going through difficult times, Lord, that they would experience forgiveness and that you would work in that situation. And if Dick and Gloria can be a part of that and use your wisdom to help that situation, Lord, that you would do that through them. I pray for this new farming initiative, Lord, that the people would see you through it. Lord, that there not only would be a harvest of food, but a harvest of souls coming to know you. Just pray for all the details and the planning that go into that. And we just pray that you would work it all out in your time. Just pray for a blessing upon their ministry. Thank you for the time that we were able to have with them to get to know them a little bit better. Just ask a blessing upon their lives. Give them good health to serve you for many more years. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Not right now.
I would just like to say thank you to the church for your support, your prayers for us. You've meant a lot to us, and we're just happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
So, I've seen you around town this week. It's always easy to spot Judy, and so it's fun to see you and catch up again. How long have you been serving the Lord? And maybe give us that little background about maybe how you came to know the Lord. That'd be great.
Well, I've been full-time in the ministry and started Wheelpire Christian Cyclists in 1993, I guess it was. And that's been 31 plus years. And it's been an amazing journey. I came to know the Lord when I was 28 years old. And that was after being beaten, abused, and cheated on by an ex-husband and wanting to find truth. Most of you have probably heard the story, but my mother was a nun, and she left the convent, and she met my dad, and they got married, and she got out of the habit and had seven children. So I was raised Catholic, and I always figured if I was good enough, I'd get to heaven. And I realized I'd never be good enough. So I started to read the Bible for myself after being left as a single mom, and it was just... the Word of God just really touched my heart in a way that I've never, you know, experienced reading the Bible. And so I guess the continuation of that was, as soon as I came to know the Lord and being in the middle of seven children, I had to go and tell them, especially, the truth. Well, I hit a block wall. I mean, they didn't want anything to do with what I... They thought I'd flipped off the far end of the world, I guess. And so that's been a big challenge in my life, is my own family. So my dad came to know the Lord before he passed away. And my mom, I'm not sure, witnessed to her for years. Her last words to me before she died was, "I've never met anyone that believes like you and your friends." And I thought how sad that was of all the times she went to a grocery store or shopping or school activities, and did she not hear the word? Was her heart hardened? I've lost two sisters and a brother, all to different types of suicide, and that's been very hard. But I still have two sisters and a brother living, and I continue to pray for them. And
What's been a special highlight of yours over the years, all those years in ministry? Any highlights? I know you have many, but
yeah.
Maybe just choose a couple.
Well, the newest book will be out hopefully in a month with lots of salvation stories. You know, it's just amazing to be available, and I think that's what we need to do as believers. Use our gifts and talents, what God has given to us, to share with others. Being on a bicycle, you know, we're not locked in behind car doors, windows. We're free and available, and it's been an amazing journey, as you saw, 3 million miles in the last 31 years of ministry. We've never had anybody hit by a car. That's a miracle. When I bring teams across the country like I used to for years here, I feel like people who come and ride with us love the Lord, number one. Number two, they really want to learn how to share their faith. And so our ministry has been like a discipleship program for me to teach and train all these Christians how to start conversations, and which is what I do when I travel into churches even. So,
Who or what were some of those influences? Maybe you didn't have as many growing up, but maybe a special friend to point you towards a mission field or encourage you in sharing the gospel, or anybody that you can think of that had that impact on you?
Well, I think there's a lot. I just think through some of the readings of Christian books that I started reading, getting involved in church. I attended Thomas Road Baptist Church with Dr. Falwell. That had a big influence in my life. I think the real thing that pushed me into, you know, this the gift of evangelism that the Lord has given me is being in a church and not ever hearing a lot of salvation stories in the church. And I was just like, you know, I wanted to kind of like, come on, everybody. We're all commanded to go and share our faith. You don't have to ride a bicycle. And I think that spurred me on to just start reaching out in my own neighborhoods and communities a lot more than I realized. But I was very blessed to have a dear friend whose dad was an aviation missionary, and she was raised in Africa. She's a Caucasian American, but they lived over there most of her life. And she was in my first, you know, Baptist church that I went to after being saved. And she said, well, I'd like to disciple you. I didn't really know what that meant. And she took the time to go through, I think it was a Navigator series. And so she had a big influence in my life. And she's actually, she's a nurse, and she teaches, and she's in Africa. So she had a big influence in my life.
That's cool. What helps you recharge and stay on fire for the passion that God's given you for ministry?
Well, the one thing I do love to do that recharges me all the time is obviously prayer, to seek God's will, to seek God's next, you know, place to go, whatever. But I do a lot of fasting and prayer, sometimes a 3-day just water fast type thing or whatever. But to get on my bicycle and to go for a ride kind of like by myself, not have to worry about a whole team and just get out there. You guys got some nice little trails, by the way. We've ridden every street in Miller, I think. We've had some great opportunities to witness here in town, and one has come to know the Lord in your community while we've been here. And I will follow up on that. But I don't know, I think just, I'm not one to take time off, so to speak, but just a few hours kind of recharges me. I don't know how to stop and keep.
Well, that's really good. It keeps you going. And what's a favorite part of your ministry, or what do you enjoy the most and why?
Well, it's obviously the people, the opportunities to just meet folks, to tell them about the Lord. When I go out, whether I'm with the team or just, you know, wherever, even shopping, not even on a bicycle, but I always look at people that somebody else, God has created them, number one. And number two, they're somebody else's mother, brother, sister. And I think I learned that losing some of my family members and, you know, unforeseen ways, but that somebody is probably praying for them. I've gotten letters over the years where people have said, Judy, I just want to let you know you're the answer to my prayer, that a son or a daughter or a spouse has come to know the Lord. So I think that's the kind of key thing, is just to look at people and say, wow, Jesus loves them. He died for them, and they need to know that.
One thing you mentioned the other day, maybe share with them, what about riding a bike is very strategic for sharing the gospel?
Well, because we're, like I mentioned, we're wide open. We're not tied down to something. We're free. We're free, and we live in a free country, and I think we need to take advantage of that freedom. You know, it's fun to ride. I mean, I've done lots of competitive riding at a point, and that's where God really got my attention to slow down. I tell my team members the faster they ride, the less they'll witness, because we get into this mode of, you know, and I'm a competitive athlete, so most of you might have known. I mean, I played a lot of sports all my life and still do. I still play pickleball a lot and stuff, but it's being available.
That's exciting. When you experience discouragement, maybe tell us a couple of times where you've experienced that, or one instance maybe, and what maybe passage of scripture or thing that's kept you focused on the Lord and for the ministries and serving the Lord?
Well, early on in the ministry, I've got to tell you, I was kind of discouraged. You know, I am a single woman that is divorced, not by my choice. And many churches that I went into years ago, the pastor wouldn't even let me share because I was a woman and I was divorced. So I'm very blessed to be part of your church. And that was, obviously you can hear my voice. That was a very challenging time for me. Was God, you know, because we sleep in churches every night. And there were times when they wouldn't even let me get up and share a testimony of what was going on. Now things have changed a lot over the years. There's still some churches that, you know, I mean, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I mean, I'm a missionary. I'm an evangelist. And, you know, I love the Lord, and I want to share that. So that's been a discouraging time. However, the scripture, of course, that always kind of came back to me is, it wasn't whether I spoke in a church or not, it was whether I was doing God's will and what he was calling me to do. But Romans 1:16 has always had a special place in my heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God until salvation to all who believe. And the other one is John 15:16, when Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And he's chosen all of us if we know the Lord. And he's chosen us to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last forever.
And I know you faced other challenges maybe. I know you had lost a job, and then you had maybe share about the injury that you had early on. As you were kind of, I think it was starting ministry, right? Maybe talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, well, God works all those things out. And, yeah, I got laid off from Liberty University. But after about 3 days, I remember waking up just kind of almost like, I don't know, I was just cried for a couple of days. And after that layoff, my son was a senior in high school. I just like, wow, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. And so I just looked at that as, you know, third or fourth day. Thank you, Lord. You freed me from this job because there's something else you want me to do. I always look at when there's a loss in our life, you know, whether we've lost a loved one, we've lost a job, we've lost, you know, whatever it might be. It's really through that loss is what we find, what we find through God's word and how God gives us the peace and the joy. And, I mean, I dusted dusted my feet off and got on my bike and took a ride. I said, all right, what do you want me to do now, Lord? And I had dreamed of bicycling across America when I was 15 years old, because my folks moved us from Portland, Maine to Los Angeles. And on that trip, I told my family, someday I want to ride my bicycle across America for two reasons. And this was before I was a Christian. My reasons were, I want to meet the people and I want to see what our country is really all about. And God is bless that. I mean, I've been in all 50 states on a bicycle. I've done 15 trips across America, coast to coast, and I've led 57 mission trips, and we're continuing to go and tell everybody what we can about the Lord.
That's cool. As you were sharing that, I was just thinking about all the people that have come to faith in Christ, and I was just visualizing a little bit of maybe a long road across America with all these people.
Thousands.
You know, they're not following you.
No.
You're following faithfully the Lord, but that they're following Christ, you know, that they would walk along with you. So that's cool. What do you have coming up in ministry that maybe something new, a new adventure, a new season of ministry coming up that we can be praying for or with you alongside you?
Well, ever since COVID hit, things had to change a little bit. We did not stop doing mission trips at all. But I think through that, and in fact that I'm 70 plus now, not that that matters, my mental age is still about 20. My physical age might be 40, but I am 70 plus. And we've been doing short-term mission trips. And instead of the long-distance thing, it's kind of, it's been great. It's been actually worked out really well. We've been doing some, you know, like a 5-day trip, a 10-day trip, and we're getting people coming out, new people that are, you know, wanting to join our ministry. So that's exciting. So that's a big part of it. I do want to get this thing called a mission mobile, which God gave me the idea for that, through the blood mobile. There was a doctor back in World War II that said he could save more lives if people would give blood. And as I read his story about 5 or 6 months ago, I thought, well, that's great. Maybe many of us have given blood. I know I have over the years and stuff. But when we give blood, we can help save a life. But that person is still going to die. It's the shed blood of the cross of Jesus that will save us forever. And so I started looking up because, you know, traveling and in and out of churches, and we've been very blessed. Diane and Mark let us stay in their little farmhouse, and that's been great. And if you haven't met Chrissy, Chrissy's my adopted daughter back there. She travels with me now the last 7 years. She got acquainted with Willpower in 2000 when she was a student at Liberty and graduated from there. And she's been on multiple trips, and God's led her to come. And I have somebody to travel and do navigation when I do alone trips. But I belong on the road. I just know that. I mean, I love my family, and we live, my son and daughter-in-law and two grandsons. We 500 steps around the corner from each other. I talk to my son every day, text my grandsons almost every 2-3 days, and anyway, so I think to do some of these destination mission trips is for me to go to their areas and to do mission trips. And this has been a great opportunity. I've not done anything like this before. We were in Salem, Missouri for about 8 or 10 days, and then we came up here, and we've been here at least 8 or 9 days. And to get to know more of you and to remember you and to look up the directory and say, oh, yeah, you know. And but just to ride in your community, to speak at the academy, to just feel part of your family. I haven't been here in, what, 5, 6 years, I think. And so I'm glad we took the time and effort to come back. It's really been a blessing and a challenge. So I want to do destination mission trips. I'm looking at getting this kind of camper thing that we can kind of live in and not be in and out every night or every week or whatever, and just set up this mission mobile. And I think it'll attract attention. There's nothing out on the road with that at all. So God has provided about 70% of what we need to get that. We only buy things when we have the money and we're debt-free. That's one blessing about our ministry. And if you don't know, I've never taken a salary from Willpower. I totally live by faith. And since I've been in your town, I have found 2 quarters, 3 dimes, 2 nickels, and some pennies. I just want to tell you that God will bless and multiply that. And that's the truth. This was off your roads. And there's not a lot of money on the road anymore because everybody's swiping, you know. I did find a credit card, but I did turn it in.
As many of you know, pickleball has become a huge craze around the country as a new sport for a lot of people. How have you used pickleball, or how has God allowed you to use pickleball to a new frontier maybe in your ministry or something?
Right. Well, over the past 5 years, I've been writing a lot of different tracks, and one of them was, Is There Life After Pickleball? So if you haven't got a copy of it, pick it up. But we have Abe and April now that will be heading up your pickleball ministry. I gave them private lessons yesterday or 2 days ago in the fellowship hall. But we did have pickleball here quite a bit when Larry was here and others that were playing. So we have a website, pickleballministry.org. And I helped the Saddleback Church in San Diego start pickleball through a Zoom meeting in 2001 or 2021. And I've started it with a couple other churches. It's a great outreach. It's kind of like the program you've got coming up for your kids. Yeah, your rock. And then, Awana programs and Upward Bounds and other programs. But pickleball is for all ages, which is kind of nice. It'd be great to have it. I know some of you are playing at the academy. That's great. And in town, you had the community center. We went and looked at the community center the other day, and you've got people that do play. But it's a great outreach ministry. And once you start it, and people will start coming in wherever you're going to play, you can use that room, of course. It's great. We do a devotional like halfway. If you have a 2-hour session, just like halftime in football or basketball or whatever, and we have a short little devotional. And people will give prayer requests. So my home church, we have a gym. We have 3 pickleball courts. I started it there. And it has grown. I've started it in 20 different venues in the Lynchburg area of pickleball through our YMCAs, and I've gone and I teach a lot of pickleball. It's just, I just see God using it.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. On behalf of our church, for both you missionaries here today, we just want to thank you for letting us be a part of how the Lord has used you and for faithfully serving the Lord. We count it a privilege to be able to support you guys. Let me pray for you, Judy. And then
I want to say thank you too, everybody. Thank you so much for your hospitality. It's been great being here. We are heading out this afternoon after lunch and making our way back to Lynchburg, Virginia, so keep us in your prayers.
All right, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us so many blessings that we don't deserve. Lord, I thank you for guiding Judy's life in a way that she would come to know you and then share that with so many people and use riding a bike or pickleball to start conversations with people wherever she goes. I thank you for the challenge. It's been been to my heart with just, you can always start a new ministry and use every avenue that you have, especially with this new ministry with pickleball. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless it for Judy. And just bring the people there that need to hear more about you. I pray for the missions mobile, Lord, that you would provide the finances so that they can get that and use that to share what you've done on the cross for all of us. Just pray for many more years of ministry. Pray that you continue to give her safety on the road. We love you and we thank you for who you are. Just bless these ministries that we've been able to hear about this morning. The gospel will continue to go forth. Help us to tell people in our town and our surrounding areas about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judy said she has a table out there if you'd like to look at some stuff that she has for tracks and different things. So take a look at those after the service. Thank you.
Kind of wrap things up from the book of Matthew as he recounts Jesus' ministry, Matthew 9, verse 35. It's a very familiar passage, but appropriate for our time together. This is what Matthew records. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus mixes a bit of his metaphors, as well as Matthew records that first looking as a shepherd, that looking at those that he was called to minister to. For Jesus, we understand that his mission was to come and to seek and to save those who are lost. And part of that ministry was around the Middle East. But he was also looking at farther reaching that calls to us. And really focusing upon the way that Jesus looked at the crowds. That I know I find myself not always reacting with compassion. You know, I tend to be a little black and white and very sarcastic. And when I see individuals that have gotten stuck or trapped in their lifestyles or their choices, I may not always react with the compassion that I need. That I don't look to see that they are harassed and helpless, meaning that they're pressed down and truly, when they're looking at what life will be like in for eternity, that I don't see that the answer really was provided by Jesus, placed into my life and call, and for all of us, that to see those around us. You know, we may not be called to all sorts of areas of the world, but we're called for here. And the desire of our missions committee is not only to challenge us for ministering in our location, but also to spur a desire that there doesn't come an age limit or you have to be X age to feel called to full-time service. You know, sometimes we don't challenge enough of what is God calling us to do, not just locally, but maybe long-term. It all starts with seeing those around us, as Jesus said, like sheep without a shepherd. But as we come into the fall time, you know, we're seeing harvest getting ready. Some are actually out in the fields. Jesus then uses that illustration to let us know that this world around us, people are ready to come to receive Christ, that we are to be called to be working in that field, our prayer is to have others come in. And I know our ones that Dick and Gloria and Judy, you know, we see how active they are. All of us are in that active field, and we need just to pray for others to come. You know, as one that is looking a little past the half century club, you know, our missionaries, we see, you know, they're aging. They're not slowing down, they're just aging. My kids remind me of that a lot. My daughter just this weekend reminded me that I was going to be 57. You know, and I look back and, wow, where has, you know, when you started in 93, I was graduating seminary. Where does 31 years go? And I start looking and seeing who's going to take over. And that's what Jesus was imaging, that the pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send other laborers, not that we stop, but that others will come alongside. And so that has been our desire as a missions committee, to just challenge us as a community and of a church, as a community that reaches out to our own community, to pray for others to come alongside. Well, let me close in prayer, and then Todd, if you would run that last video, please. Heavenly Father, as the Lord of the harvest, help us to be found working, because we know that the night is coming, that we do our work in the day. You are in charge of how you're going to wrap up history. You have called us to be a part of the harvest. So, Father, help us to have the same heart that you do of the people around us, that they are harassed and helpless, but that the saving message of Jesus Christ is what can lift them and what can bring them into a personal relationship with you and secure their eternity and to bring them abundant life. So, Father, we thank you for each of the ones that we get to partner with around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, friends. This is Jeremy Hamilton with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I serve as the Area Ministry Director for InterVarsity in South Dakota. I've been at it for 25 years now, 10 years in this role. But the amazing thing to me is that you folks have been my partners in the gospel for 25 years. So I want to offer a really big thank you. I hope you have a great conference and hope to be with you sometime in the future to tell you stories of how God is at work at university and college campuses around the state.
Hello, this is the Romano family. I'm James.
I'm Heidi.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Liam.
I'm Jaden.
We are so thankful for all that you do for us. We serve in Italy with a tent ministry, and we're involved in missions in the rest of the world in places like Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Greece, working with Muslims, and Rwanda as well. And we are so thankful for your prayers, your love, and your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you, and greetings from Italy.
Greetings from Kadoka, South Dakota. We are Ken and Karen Taves, serving with In Faith here in South Dakota since 1980. We so appreciate your support of our ministry over the years, both through financial giving and through your prayer support. You are a valued and important part of our support team, and we thank you for that. We're excited for your missions conference this weekend. Trust that the Lord will continue to use you as you reach out to people around the world, and appreciate the opportunity you have to learn of all the missions that's going on from your church this weekend. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
Hi, friends. It's fun to pop in on you today. Many of you are like family because you have supported us and literally prayed us through every door that the Lord has opened before us. And we just want to say that we are grateful.
Yes, St. Lauren, thank you so much for supporting us, for sending us. This last year's been busy, some with some travel. Here on the map, we can show you just a little bit. We have been to Ukraine, to serving there with English camps, with Armenia, and with our staff there. and another English camp in Georgia, connecting with our staff. And then we came back to the United States, back over here, and we had all of our team come to us this year into Denver, and just got back from them. And so we really thank you for sending us and saying we're going to be going to Kenya, actually, here in Africa, very shortly. So please pray for us. We'll be there in November. We're going to teach some youth ministry courses there. Thank you so much for sending us and supporting us.
We love you, St. Lawrence.
Love you guys.
Thank you for being awesome supporters.
Thank you.
It is good to see how God uses us around the world, and it's very humbling that he has brought so many different individuals our way. We're going to close with hymn number 306. She's going to stand with me. We're going to also receive the offering at this time for both of our sets of missionaries that are here with us. So, men, if you could also come forward as we start singing number 306, Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward till our Lord's command, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing its silence on the sea, and the land, ocean waves. Brother, they are jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, where the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Nation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Just a little bit of, for the rest of our morning, Gloria is going to be with the primary department for Sunday school, and just ask those Sunday school teachers that are a part of that, if you could also be there. And then Dick is going to be with the fifth grade on up to high school, and Judy will be in here with the adults. We'll kind of gather at our normal time-ish, so that'd be about 11:10. And then everyone is certainly invited after Sunday school for our covered dish dinner to see what kind of international dishes. We were taking dibs at probably a lot of Mexican and Italian, but there might be some surprises. I saw a few showing up, so we certainly invite everyone to stay for that time. Let me close with the words of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.